Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 27th of March. We're going to talk about racial issues in Wisconsin this hour of the program. We're speaking to you in downtown Milwaukee, and race has always been a big issue in this city. There are a couple things we want to explore. There is an initiative in part led by the NAACP to try to look at the issue of segregation in Milwaukee. It has the distinction of being one of the most segregated communities in the whole country, which creates a whole host of problems. One of those manifests itself in schools. We'll have two guests with us this hour, Reverend Willie Briscoe, who is president of MICA, the Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope. When he was last with us, he talked about an initiative to address the prison population in the state of Wisconsin and the number of people who are in prison for nonviolent offenses and the number of people who are minorities who are in prisons for those reasons. Kelly O'Keefe Betcher will also join us, English teacher at Rufus King High School and MPS School. And they have started a campaign to change the image of the district after the basketball players and the fans from Rufus King were referred to as thugs by students outside the district at the recent basketball game in Madison. Racial stereotypes, why they exist, what we can do to overcome them. We'll be taking on that rather large issue in just a moment. We also have another mission here, and that's that we're in our spring membership drive, and we rely on you to pay for all of the programs that you enjoy here on this network. Ellen Clark is joining me in our studios. Every gift helps support the programs you rely on. Please make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've got some really exciting news for this hour. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to
$1,300. Oh, we do.
Isn't this exciting?
And this is
so wonderful. It's a generous match. It's offered by an anonymous donor. And the reason she is offering this challenge is because she really enjoys your program, Kathleen. And it's
her
way of encouraging other people to join her in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So this is the Support Kathleen Hour and Support Wisconsin Public Radio all at the same time. $1,300 match, dollar for dollar. So you can actually get your pledge doubled right now if you call. So now is the time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, this is a great hour to pledge because those don't happen very often. So please take advantage of it. You name it, you've heard it on the Ideas Network. Oh my gosh, do we cover the territory, politics, books, history, so many topics. You know it's a valuable service. It's one of a kind and a service worth supporting. Make your contribution of $50 or $100, whatever amount you choose, to support the Ideas Network programs that you enjoy. It's your chance to make these programs possible. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And not only right now is your pledge doubled because of this matching grant, you can also, any pledge at all gets you entered into a drawing here. It's a trip for two on a garden tour of London and the surrounding area with Wisconsin Public Radio host Larry Mueller. That sounds like a lot of fun. You can find out all the details while you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, Kelly O'Keefe Betcher will join us, English teacher at Rufus King High School. She also does some remarkable international work and local work in bringing people together who may not normally be brought together. Reverend Willie Briscoe, president of the Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope, will also join us as we take on issues of race. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the incentives just keep on coming. This will make you feel good when you donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. If you pledge $10 a month or more, you can choose the thank you gift that will provide 40 meals to those in need through the area food bank. So choose Food 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge right now to meet that challenge grant.
Thank you very much, Ellen. We'll talk to you later. We're going to take on issues of race this hour of the program, and we'll have two guests with us. Joining us right now, she's between classes, or she's taken a couple minutes out of this class to speak with us, Kelly O'Keefe Betcher, who teaches English at Rufus King High School, which is an MPS school, considered one of the best high schools in the state. Kelly is a remarkable woman. She works to bridge many divided communities. Some years ago, she helped start a Jewish student group at the school known as the Jew Crew, and the group cooperates with Friends of Islam at the school. She also facilitates a program called the Ulster Project. For many years, it has brought Northern Irish Protestant and Catholic teens to Milwaukee to lessen violence and create deep understanding. I noticed a couple weeks ago she was fighting prejudice against MPS students. Rufus King students were competing against Germantown for the Division I basketball title, and they were subjected to racist online remarks and unsettling chants. King players were referred to as thugs. Tweets included, "Good move by the WIAA to put two cops in front of the Milwaukee King students before they lose." Another, "King dancers look more like strippers." Another, "The nappiness of King's dance team is astounding ghetto." A Facebook campaign followed this, "Stop MPS Stereotyping," with King students and other MPS students changing their profile pictures to take a stand and make a point. The theme, MPS is not full of thugs. Kelly is going to join us in just a few moments. Reverend Willie Briscoe will join us to broaden this discussion. He is president of Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope. Kelly O'Keefe Betcher, thank you so much for being with us. Oops, are you I'm sorry. I had the wrong microphone up. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi. I'm so glad to be with you this morning.
Thank you so much. Were you, first of all, tell me about the what you saw at the basketball game and what other students are complaining about in terms of stereotypes of NPS students and racial stereotypes.
Well, when I listen to my students, and I'm on my 15th year teaching in Milwaukee Public Schools, our student athletes and our student scholars, whether they are competing in something academic or they're competing in something athletic, as they move outside of the city, they are continually met with sometimes what I would call a microaggression, maybe a look, maybe a cold shoulder, maybe a, "Are you in the wrong place? Do you belong here?" And especially when it comes to basketball, when both our boys and our girls travel outside of the city, they are greeted with racial epithets. Our girls' basketball team, when playing against several suburban schools, were called the N-word on the basketball court, both by fans and by other players. Questions about their hairstyles, questions about their femininity. Our boys' teams have experienced all of those stereotypes, being referred to as thugs, the N-word. So many disparaging comments about race, ethnicity, social class, and just what it is to be from a large metropolitan area. And as I've listened to these stories over the years, it really reached almost, kind of a peak this year, really through social media and some of the comments that were showing up online, through blogs, tweeting. Students need a place to process this, and of course they bring it to school because they're looking for some place to make sense of it. They're looking for people to help them figure out a healthy and a safe way to respond to these verbal assaults on their integrity.
Do you think that part of the problem is that people just don't know each other? You look at, in terms of the basketball games, or you look at the makeup of composition of schools in Wisconsin, and we are highly, highly segregated.
Absolutely.
Does that create part of the problem?
I think that's a huge part of it. We don't live together. We don't study together. Many adults don't even work together. We don't worship together. I do think the hyper-segregation certainly contributes to that. But I also think there's all kinds of historical oppression that gets passed down. Right? How is it that students in suburban schools with, and I don't want to demonize the suburbs, I don't want to be guilty of stereotyping an entire, geographic area, but how is it so easy for them in public places to use this language? Where is that being interrupted? How is it possible at a basketball game that a fan section can be using the N-word? Where is their clear thinking to help these young people say, that's damaging, and that's inappropriate, and we don't want you representing our school community that way. So I think you're exactly right. I think it's a question of access, but I also think, we need many more opportunities to listen to each other, to talk with each other, and to challenge really a lot of this racist rhetoric, because it's dangerous and it must be interrupted.
And let's talk about the interruption campaign that has been taking place. I know that MPS students, starting with King students, mm-hmm. have put as their Facebook message what they are doing, what their accomplishments are,
yep.
letting people know that they are not thugs.
Right. I love that. I mean, it's a way of using social media and turning it, right, reframing the conversation of we will not allow someone who's maybe not one of us, who might not love us, we're not going to let someone else frame that conversation. We know who we are. We know what we stand for. We know what we contribute, not just to the city, but to the state, right? We're so very clear about that. And the Facebook campaign was, it followed Friends of Islam and Jukru, both who have really experienced mistreatment. Those are both student groups who understand what it is to be targeted. They both understand what it is to be marginalized. And before the state game, Friends of Islam gathered and said, we want to celebrate diversity. We want to take this language of being a thug or a villain, and we want to turn that on its head. And so they designed buttons that said diversity from diverse city. We love diversity. We're not afraid of it. In fact, we cherish it. Then they went on to make T-shirts with the big letter D so that people from other schools could say, what does that mean? And that our students could say, we're from Milwaukee, and we're proud of it, and we're not going to hide it, and we're gonna celebrate it. And Jukru did the same thing yesterday with an interfaith seder to talk about coalition building, possibly setting up an exchange with some of these suburban schools of come to the city, come to Rufus King, and then spend a day and learn and listen, and we'll come to you too, so that we can build these bridges rather than resorting to labels and stereotypes and just language that does not serve us at all.
Has anybody taken you up on those offers?
Well, yesterday was what we would call our forming and storming, where we're dreaming big here. We're figuring out who do we want to reach out to, who is a natural ally, and where do we go from here. So I'll definitely let you know when we get some positive responses.
And I know that you're also doing this on an international level. We'll talk about this later. But you're also doing something with students from Northern Ireland.
Yes, absolutely. That work has probably made it possible for me to do a lot of this social justice work in my high school. Because I've had that experience of seeing communities that have historically been divided or maybe lived with suspicion, many of those experiences have reinforced my commitment that we need to do cross-community work in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods, in our own schools. Young people are so hungry for these conversations. They do not want to settle for a world of separation. They want to be deeply connected to each other. They want to be understood, and they want to understand other people as well.
Joining us in our Milwaukee studios, do you have a few minutes to stay with us, Kelly?
I sure do. Okay. This is my lunch hour.
Oh, this is your at 10:30?
I know. Well,
this is your lunch hour?
I know. Isn't that crazy? Our school day ends at 2:40, so yeah, you got to eat early.
Yeah. Well, you're probably hungry at this time of the day. I don't know if you two know each other, but this is Reverend Willie Briscoe, who's been with us on many occasions last time to talk about prison population in the state of Wisconsin and a very interesting campaign going on to lessen the population. He is president of MICA, Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope. Do you know Kelly O'Keefe Betcher?
No, I don't.
All right. English, well, it's good for you to meet each other. English teacher, and she does so much more at Rufus King High School. What do you think, Reverend Briscoe, of what she just said? MPS students facing that kind of incredible racial language at a state basketball game, and this has been going on repeatedly. What in the world is prompting that?
First of all, it saddens me that at this day and age that we are still facing some of these things. I was born in Mississippi, and I lived through the Jim Crow and the segregation period, and I didn't understand why black kids went to one school, white kids went to another, and why there was so much separation. And I'm seeing the same thing in 2012, and that is, it's concerning. I will salute Kelly and the Rufus King students. Rufus King is one of the satellite schools of this nation. They are one of the most accomplished schools. So these students are not thugs. Milwaukee public schools are not thugs. I want to actually celebrate the students where they how they're approaching this, probably putting a positive spin on it, because this could anger a lot of youngsters. The way they're approaching this is very mature, and I applaud them, and I applaud their teacher for how they're addressing this, because we can't just sit back and allow this to happen. Laws can legislate segregation, but integration comes from the heart. And we have been segregated, but we desegregated, but we have not been integrated. Integrated takes effort. We have to personally work at trying to develop relationships. It has to be intentional, and it has to be determined, or else we will see these things that are happening. We came too far of a nation to go back to where we were. And I don't want to condemn all suburban nights, because that's not the case. This is only a handful of people who, and if they're that comfortable saying it in the stands, they're that comfortable saying it at home. So it's actually coming from the parents. And that is where this saddens me even more. So we have got to work on this, because things that are happening in this nation that are angering our young people could actually explode and be something that's not constructive. So the way King is approaching this and the way this teacher is, I applaud this. I think you guys are great.
Kelly, how do you go about interrupting this kind of language?
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Reverend Briscoe. It's thank you for your appreciation. You know, one of the things that we talked about yesterday was, how do we reach out to people and get them good information? And one of the ways we start is we start with the belief that nobody's born a bigot. And we get them good information. For instance, just this morning I was teaching, and we are getting ready to read The Crucible by Arthur Miller. And we were talking about groups that we still think get targeted for mistreatment. And several of my students, innocently, right? There's a way sometimes that racism can be unaware. We're referring to Arabs as Arabs. Mm-hmm. Now, I could have come down like a box of bricks, right, and said, wait a minute, that's racist. But instead I said, I've also heard that word pronounced Arab. And sometimes it happens when we don't have good information. We might be participating in prejudice. We might be participating in something insulting or pejorative simply because we don't know. And these are my students. They are generous and kind and smart. But as Reverend Briscoe just said, that is how they've heard that word pronounced. And they didn't think they were being insulting. They were talking about, you know what, I think I've been afraid of Arabs. And I think I'm starting to understand this play because I don't even know why I'm afraid. And once we get someone who can ask us, where do you think that word came from? And how do you think it feels when a person of color is targeted with that language? Is that really what you meant to do? Is that really what you intended by using that language? So it begins with the conversation. It begins by creating an opportunity for young people to hear what they said and hopefully manage any defensiveness, manage any sense of we're holding you responsible for 400 years of oppression. Something that we said yesterday when Jew Crew got together to lead this conversation about, you know, stereotypes of MPS and all this language of thugs and villains, we are not holding anyone responsible for the history of this country. But we are going to hold ourselves responsible for what we do now that we have good information. Right?
Let's take a couple phone calls before your lunch break ends. Your lunch break. Patty in Green Bay. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Hi, Reverend.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to say Rufus King graduated my dad in 1938.
Oh, my.
We've always had a fondness for Rufus King. My Aunt Mary taught at Phillips School for 33 years.
Wonderful.
So, you know, now my son goes to Green Bay East. And I don't think this is just prevalent to the suburban Milwaukee schools. Mm-hmm. Racism on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. He's one of 12 kids. There's three boys that are white on the team. Everybody else is of color. Mm-hmm. And before they go to some outlying schools, and this broke my heart, the coach has to sit down with those guys and tell them to suck it up. You're going to hear stuff on the court you're not going to like. You know, you can't push back. They're going to call you names. And they do. I mean, you know, my son was raised, he went to a Catholic school, Then he's going to this great high school, Green Bay now. We love it. But his friends are subject to things that they shouldn't really have to be subject to as kids. I mean, you know, I don't understand if we talk about loving each other and loving your neighbor, that we can let our sons and daughters talk to each other in such a demeaning fashion on a basketball court.
Kelly.
Yeah, I'm having an emotional reaction to it. We have to create cultures and communities where we don't have to prepare people to protect themselves against racism, right? I love that that coach is doing everything he or she can to protect those young people. But the other conversation has to be in those communities to say, when we are welcoming people of color, when we are welcoming people of different racial, ethnic, religious backgrounds, that we say, let's be the very best hosts we can be. Let's be welcoming. And let's talk about how other people feel when they come into our community. And that has to be the other part of this conversation, not about just helping young people survive, or people of color survive racism. Let's shut racism down. Let's make sure that, yes, young people know how to deal with it, but let's also create those communities where no one has to fear being the victim or the target of a racial or sectarian epithet. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
We have to raise our voices against it.
Reverend Briscoe, would you like to respond to those comments from the Green Bay caller?
Yes, and like I said, it's amazing in this day and age. But what has happened, we have got to keep this language on the forefront. We have been kind of lazy. We've kind of gotten disinterested in this topic, and we think that it gets better on its own. It doesn't. It has to be aggressively attacked. It has to be aggressively addressed in order for it to be brought to the forefront in this nation. This nation still faces a problem with the oppressed and the oppressors, those who are fortunate, who feel that they have been given some right to be in their position, and they can look down on others. We have to make sure that we're, like I said before, intentional and determined that we are not going to accept second-class citizenry nowhere in this state or in this country. And we're going to have to do it by addressing these forces directly. I don't want to see anything happen to where we resort to violence or where we resort to riots and whatever because our children get so depressed by what they see around them. We have got to keep this language in the churches. And I implore the churches to step forward and be that beacon in the community. And that's what we are trying to do here in Milwaukee, is create language and create relationships that will heal those things, because some of our neighbors right next to us don't know us.
Thanks very much for the call, Patty. Let's go to Matt in Madison. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. I kind of think when I hear listening on the radio today, groups like Jew Crew or Friends of Islam, would we be okay with groups like White Pride or White Knights? Because I think by perpetuating particular groups, you're segregating people just by doing that. We, you know, the whole idea that we have this great racism problem, especially when we have a black president, a black attorney general, we have the first Mexicans appointed to the Supreme Court. I think a lot of this idea and focus on race takes away from the idea of treating everybody as a human being, irregardless of skin color.
Kelly.
Question. Can I ask you, if you're willing,
color of,
what's your religious background?
And an enlightening mind.
Okay, Matt.
And we'll treat each other.
Is that, do you celebrate a faith tradition?
Yes, I'm Catholic.
Excellent. Is that important to you?
Yes, my faith is very important to me.
But
I don't
Absolutely.
See within my faith any type of racial bigotry. I mean, we have black priests, Spanish priests, white priests, and they're all treated the same. I mean, we all worship together, and I don't see the animosity there.
Right.
Can I ask one question? Are you proud to be white?
Yes, I'm proud of my heritage.
Let me stop there. And you should be. There is nothing wrong with white pride if it's just going to highlight you're proud in your race, not putting down another race. I would have no problem with you saying that I'm white and proud, but I don't want it to be said I'm white and proud at your disadvantage. I want you to be able to say I'm just as white and proud as you are to be black and proud, so why don't we both celebrate that together?
Right, and I would certainly as the advisor, and I'm European heritage Catholic, practicing Catholic, as the faculty advisor for both Friends of Islam and Jew Crew, we have every religious tradition as members of both our groups. It is not a segregationist student movement. Rufus King has close to 30 different student groups, and it's a practice known as caucusing, where people have the opportunity to celebrate what makes them unique in an effort of then sharing that with everyone. So sometimes it happens that groups that have been targeted for mistreatment need to get together and talk about what's happened to them. Jews continue to live with anti-Semitism. Muslims continue to live with Islamophobia. But the intention of our group is not in any way to isolate ourselves, is not in any way to say that we don't celebrate pluralism or that we don't want to participate in the United States that treats people well and treats people equally. Caucusing is not unhealthy. It's actually a way of saying, come and learn more. Come and join this group. Right now, the majority of students in Friends of Islam are not Muslim, because there are a lot more Christians in this school than there are Muslims, which is why we call it Friends of Islam. Come and learn. Come and figure out what happens to Muslim students in this building. Come and hear Jewish student experiences. Half of Jew Crew are not Jews. So it's coalition building. It is not segregationist in any way. But I certainly understand that people hear these single identity groups and they get confused. And they think it means somehow that these groups want special treatment or they're looking for something distinct. They're not. They're looking to celebrate, and they're looking to build coalitions.
And thanks very much for the call, Matt. Kelly O'Keefe Betcher, thank you so much for all that you do and for joining us. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Kelly O'Keefe Betcher teaches English at Rufus King High School and outlining their response to the stereotyping of MPS students, not only at the state basketball tournament, but at many places over a long period of time. Staying with us in our studios in Milwaukee as we continue our conversation about racial stereotypes and segregation in this state, and particularly in the city of Milwaukee, Reverend Willie Briscoe. He is president of MICA, Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope. I want to talk to him a little bit more because so much attention has been centered on the Trayvon Martin case in Florida, and so many minority parents have talked about the lessons they have to give their young people before they venture out from into the communities, about driving, about dealing with police, etc. It's been a lesson for many of us, that case, in many areas. And there are some special events that Reverend Briscoe wants to tell us about, which he will in just a moment. We have a busy day going on. We're also in our spring membership drive, and Ellen Clark is joining me in our Milwaukee studios. We are asking you how much you rely on the Ideas Network for enlightening and informative discussions. We're trying to have one right now. And we remind you that WPR relies on you to keep programs like this one on the air. A gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to provide the programs you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Ellen.
And just a quick reminder that we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,300 in effect right now. And that is offered by an anonymous donor, Shy, who enjoys Kathleen's show, and she wants to encourage all of us to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So right now, if you think about it, if you pledge $50, that turns into $100. $100 turns into $200, and you get the idea. On and on it goes. Please, please, please take advantage of this match to make your gift go even farther right now and to help pay for programs like Kathleen's and this amazing hour we're having right now. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And you might wonder what your pledge pays for. Well, we have toll-free numbers, so you can call in with your comments. We rely on newspapers, magazine subscriptions, internet services, so we can research the topics of the day, and all of those have costs. Your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 certainly helps pay for them.
And right now, rather than receiving a book or a CD as a thank you gift, you can also do something extra special during during this drive. If you can contribute $120 or more and you select Food for 40 as your thank you gift, we'll pass that money along that we would have normally spent on a book or a CD, and we'll give it to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Pledge now to support the food bank, pledge now to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and pledge now to get your dollar for dollar match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We keep you informed, entertained every day. You get value from this program and from the many others on this network. So please make your pledge to us now.
And I think Wisconsin Public Radio gives you a window to the world like no other. And isn't this hour's program right now, that you're listening to right now, a good example of that? Please support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We all look for ways to manage our time and money. One way to do that while supporting Wisconsin Public Radio is become a sustaining member if you can. Choose a monthly amount right for you. Have it charged from your bank account or credit card.
And the nice thing about that is when you're a sustainer, your pledge will just renew automatically year after year. That's the way I do it. And it saves all of us paper. It saves us time. It saves us stamps. It's just a good savings all the way around. So think about becoming a sustainer right now. Give whatever you can and whatever way is best for you at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Ellen, very much. We continue with Reverend Willie Briscoe in just a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Reverend Willie Briscoe, president of Milwaukee Inner City Congregations Allied for Hope, MICA, is with us. He also has a long career in law enforcement as deputy superintendent of the Milwaukee County House of Corrections. And we're talking about issues of race, as they are omnipresent these days with the stories going on in our state and also nationally. One of the things that we've been hearing so much about, and in a way it kind of surprises us, I think, Reverend Briscoe, after the situation in Florida, is so many minority parents have come forward. And this happened to me when I was moderating a panel of To Kill a Mockingbird, too. I realized that my white perspective was so different than the African-American women who talked about teaching their sons, particularly to be very polite to law enforcement people, to be very careful when they're going into white communities outside the city of Milwaukee, because they felt that they could be targeted. And that just really struck me. And so many parents are saying the same thing as a result of the situation in Florida. We haven't heard that, and yet people have been living with that for years.
We've lived with that as a culture all of our lives. We have been taught from children, if we wanted to be accepted, we have to do double what the average person does. If we want a job, we have to work twice as hard as a person of another color. If we want to be safe in the streets, we have to be exemplary in all of our deportments. We cannot stray one way or the other. We have to walk this fine line, or else your life could be in jeopardy. That is a stressful way for people to live in this society. And yet we have survived and have lived under this double standard for years. Now we're telling our kids, pull your hood off, keep your hands on the steering wheel. Do not stay back, say yes, sir, and no, sir. That came from slavery to keep us from being beaten and killed. And we're still seeing it today. The Trayvon Martin case is simple. There was a young man who left his home in the middle of a basketball game, went to the store, bought Skittles and iced tea, did not rob the store, did not cause any problems, walked back home, did not harass anyone, did not accost anyone, but was accosted and killed by a citizen. That's a crime. No more discussion needs to be had. I don't care what color, what race, I don't care if he came from Mars. That's a crime. And we are sitting here debating whether the kid got suspended from school or whether this is why our young people are on the brink all the time, because they hear this rhetoric. This is Rodney King all over again. Mm-hmm. And I hate to bring that up, but we saw a visual aid that someone interpreted. You didn't see what you saw. Now they're trying to tell us we didn't hear what we heard. God made us different in different races for a reason, that we would come together and make a united whole. We would make the body of Christ. So there is no race on this planet that's above another. But yet and still, some of us have felt that this privilege gives us the right to do what is unlawful. These castle doctrines, these gun laws in this country are pathetic. We tell our police officers, you have to go to the academy. You have to learn when and the proper way to discharge your weapon. You have to learn the right way to accost citizens. But we tell normal citizens, you can take a 3-hour course and go out and kill your neighbor. This is barbaric. I am doing the best I can to keep this in a level conversation because I understand what our children are facing. I understand what those children at King are feeling. I understand the kids in Green Bay. It is it's almost unconscionable in this day and age to go out and be profiled because of your color or because of some way the media betrayed you. You would think that every kid in this inner city is a thug. There are some great kids out there. There's some loving kids. There's some intelligent kids. And we cannot let the media or any other outlet tell us otherwise and make us feel that we're second-class citizens. We have to stand up and address this, not only the black neighborhoods, but the white, the Hmong, the Hispanic neighborhoods all have to stand together and say, this is not the country that we were formed in. This is not the country that we will have, and we will not stand for it. And that is why I am pleased to be the president of MICA, because we are not going to let these issues go on the back burner.
Let's go to more phone calls, 800-486-8655. Mike in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, Kathleen, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Mike.
I've heard segregation and hyper-segregation mentioned during this program, and I understand that redlining is illegal, which is the policy of real estate companies taking a city map and red pen, drawing circles, and only within those circles offering housing loans to the disfavored people of the moment, which creates ethnic ghettos. Now, today, redlining is largely associated with black and brown people, but Jewish people were redlined in the early part of the 20th century and even before that. In fact, ghetto originally meant place of the Jews. But I don't see how anything can be done about or even should be done about self-selected residential segregation, in which people choose to live among people that are similar to themselves. Now, self-selected residential segregation probably accounts for much, if not most, of the current hyper-segregation that we see in this area today. But I don't see anything wrong with people choosing to live among other people similar to themselves.
Reverend Briscoe.
I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with choosing to live among people of your own color. That's a choice. But you should be able to move about this entire country, this entire state, without harassment, regardless of your color. There are no restrictions to where you can live. This living among your people do not give anyone the right to call you out of your name. Living among your people does not give anybody the right to discriminate against you. With those things are not hemmed in by barriers. Those things are caused by nearsighted people.
How do you take on, and it just keeps resurfacing, which to me is hard to believe. It's 2012, for heaven's sake, but some things die hard. How do you, 25,000 people showed up in this small town in Florida last night to make a statement. People are putting messages on Facebook, making a statement. Considering the enormity of this issue and how it is still omnipresent, how do you stand against it, Reverend Briscoe? What do people do, and why is it still here in 2012?
One of the things is when a crisis happens, we respond or react to it, and then we go back to our comfort zone. There's no such thing as a comfort zone in this nation until this is conquered. We have got to find a way to keep this in the forefront. I know everybody says that when we elected Barack Obama that everything, well, you finally got a president, you should be satisfied. That is not, was not our goal, was not our goal for a black president. Our goal was for citizenship of this country and to respect it, be respected and be revered, just as any other contributing member of this society. And that's what all people should be trying to achieve without oppressing anyone else. But when we find out that people who live in certain areas feel privileged to oppress and to look at people who live in other areas as less than human beings, that's concerning. And we cannot cannot go back to our comfort zone and accept that. That what has happened is when we do that, then it gives light and give charge to these people who have this nearsighted mentality. We have to stay on the forefront of civil rights. We have to stay on the forefront of true integration, which means that it is a concern and a concerted conversation that is showing people what it is to be a part of society and that everyone matters.
Let's go to Chris next in Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I just have two comments. I grew up in the South Side, and just over the years of listening to people talk and some of my friends and just going to the bars there, I was really surprised at how prejudiced so many of the people there were, that I really don't have a big problem by saying it's, you know, kind of, well, just making it a blanket statement for so many people there. And another thing, too, is when I was living out in New Jersey, it was out in the country, and it was even worse there. There's a guy that I used to hang out with from school, and he gave me a ride to the airport. We stop at a restaurant, and I see a Confederate flag up on the wall inside. I pointed out to him, just told him, you have to remember this flag. You see it, you got to go. Otherwise, someone, you know, might start causing problems for you. And no, those are my two comments.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris, for the call. Reverend Briscoe.
That is evident of what we're saying. We have to be intentional and determined to rid this country of this mindset if we're going to be successful. And we have to realize it is not going to happen overnight, because you see in 2012 the same rhetoric that exists that happened during slavery, after slavery in the 60s. Dr. Martin Luther King fronted it, confronted it. And we're going to have to confront it, and we're going to have to be determined. And when I say we, I say a nation of people who understand what it is to be neighbors, who understand what it is to be a community. And that's all colors. We have got to confront injustice wherever we see it, and we have to make sure that no one rests until everyone in this country is treated fairly.
Tony in Madison, hi.
Hi, I'd like to add a couple of words to the conversation. I think human dignity or humanity is really important. I think as much as injustice, we really don't afford humanity that we would afford our own children to people of color in America, and that's a big issue. That's one of my big ones. The second is white privilege. We have issues in the white community confronting white privilege, admitting that things might be different for other people. And until we go out and ask people of color the questions that need to be asked and hear the answers that need to be heard, how they have to teach their kids to deal with white society, until we listen, and nothing's going to happen.
And I agree with that, but we're going to have to push this conversation on the front burner. We are going to have to be determined, and we're going to have to realize that we can't go back to where we came from. We must forge forward and make sure that this community, every community throughout this country, know that we are not going to be silent on this issue. And that is why we have to build a consortium. We have to build a coalition that's strong enough to actually penetrate some of these areas. And this should be in everybody's curriculum in every school.
Yes,
we should be back to civics, to very, very, very intense efforts to make sure that we know about the individuals that we are in this nation with. I mean, look at the burning of the Quran. That should have been something that should have been taught in the first, before those people went over there. They should have been taught the respect of that country, the respect of different religions. We take it for granted sometimes that everybody is like us, and we have to be willing to learn other cultures. We have to be willing to sit down and understand where people are coming from. If we don't do that, we're going to be isolated for the rest of our lives, and this planet will continue to be at war over minor issues of religious belief, of colors, and of different opinions.
I remember after September 11 that we wanted to do a show with young people, and we chose Rufus King High School to go to. And I must tell you, we heard from people all over the state of the depth of understanding of world's cultures and acceptance of world cultures and acceptance of each other that they heard from the students who were in that kind of setting. And I think there are far too few of those kinds of settings just made people appreciate what diversity can bring to us. It's immeasurable. It's just immeasurable what diversity can bring. We need to pledge. You're doing a special event, though. Tell us about it. Hands Across the Viaduct, the infamous Viaduct. What is that?
That is the separation between the north and the south side of this community that was a symbol of the housing marches in the 60s and the 70s. That is still a symbol of separation in this city. The Hispanic black community, the Hmong, the white community, we still have not sat down and had an honest conversation with one another about differences. We still have members and this cross this side of the viaduct who thinks that the immigrants are coming here to take our jobs, to take benefits away from us. We still have problems on the south side with minorities, blacks coming over there that they're taking over. All of those things are myths that have been set up on us that we need to talk about, because if we ever come together, this whole community, if we get an ethnic, what you might say, a mass meeting at Miller Park, and where we all honestly talk to each other about our fears, about our hopes, we're going to find out how much we have in common and how we could build this community together as a united people. That is why, Micah, we are pushing hard for these relationships. And you'd be surprised how many people say, well, it's not time for that. You're going outside of your area. You should wait. Only thing you've ever got from waiting is older.
Reverend Briscoe, always a pleasure. Thank you. We are going to continue our membership drive. It's all important. Please stay with us. Reverend Willie Briscoe, and thanks also to Kelly O'Keefe to talk about issues of race. I'm Kathleen Dunn, Ellen Clark joining me. It is our spring membership drive. You rely on this station for intelligent discussions. More than ever, we rely on you to keep the talk on the air. Your gift of $60, $120, any amount helps this important discussion and many like them. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, Ellen.
What a wonderful, wonderful hour that was. And I've got great news, too. The challenge that we had earlier has been met. So thank you to everyone who helped us take advantage of those extra funds by that generous donor. However, we do have to meet the goal for this hour, and we're looking for about 20 more phone calls right now. And I think the hour that we just had is worthy of 20 more phone calls, don't you? I hope you agree with me. Help us make this hour a big success with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Reverend Briscoe and with Kelly O'Keefe Betcher from Rufus King High School about the issues that we're dealing with when it comes to racial stereotyping, racial prejudice. It's very much in the news right now and, of course, exists in our state as well. Mm-hmm. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you enjoy and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now you can do two good things at once. You can make a contribution of $120 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's $10 a month. And then you can choose food for 40 as your thank you gift. When you do that, your thank you gift will turn into 40 meals for those facing hunger through a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Pledge any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think in the last 4 years, I've upped my contribution every year. I'm using the service. I feel I should pay something towards it. Not that I should have to, but I want to. If we don't support it, we won't have it. It's a free service. Nobody's making us pay for it. And that's a little easier to take than if somebody would say, yes, you have to pay for it.
pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Maybe your gift is $50, $100, $500, whatever amount. It is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And every single donation to Wisconsin Public Radio does make a difference. And that includes leadership gifts that make big projects possible. If you can, maybe you want to consider an annual gift at the leadership level of $1,200 or more. To set up a leadership pledge, all you have to do is visit WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for any gift of any amount.
You hear substantial topics. The hour that you just heard, I think, is a very, very substantial topic. We want you to hear more than just a headline. We give you an hour on the issues that matter to you. Please make your donation in support of these programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And contribute not because you have to, but because you want to, because of programs you hear just like this hour. Like I mentioned before, that challenge we had earlier has been met. Thanks so much. Right now we need 13 calls to make this hour's goal. We can do that, and I think the show is worthy of it. Kathleen has programs like this on all the time. If you listen to her, you know that is true. Help us make this hour a big success with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a guiding philosophy of those of us who work here that what happens in the world matters to us, and that's why WPR is really very important. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over.
And you get news from your own backyard, like we did today, right now, and from around the world. So because you value being an informed citizen, make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Oh, the time got away from you. Thank you, Ellen Clark, very much. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks to Rhonda and Cynthia Schuster as well. And thanks for all of your pledges.